Well, keep that Bible passage open. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 4, verse 1. And let me pray for us. Lead us in prayer. Our Father, we praise you that you are a speaking God, that you don't leave us to work it out for ourselves, that you don't leave us as we are in our sin, but you give us Christ, you give us your people, you give us your spirit, you give us your word. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning to keep going with Jesus. For those of us that don't know him, we pray, Lord, that we would see the wonder that he is, the Savior that he is. And for those that are, we pray, Lord, that you would give us endurance to run the race. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're talking running. Here's a picture of myself and our number two son, Dexter, running during the week. We went around the Salt Lakes over in Rockingham with the Secret Rocky Runners. They're a group who have combined the word Rockingham with Secret Harbour, and they're called the Secret Rocky Runners. And if you've ever been in a running group or not, it's exactly like cross country when you're a kid. Remember that cross country when you got whipped by the PE teacher to go and run in the mud and the rain, or probably in the stinking heat here in Australia, but for me it was in the rain and the mud. And it's always the same, you know. There's always one person who runs way out in front, who has just got the fitness and they just keep going like Forrest Gump. That was Dexter on a Monday night. There's always a couple of people who are at the back slinking off to have a smoke or a chat, that kind of thing. There's always someone who at the last minute has decided they've got a headache and they can't run in the cross country. It was the same that night. Someone decided they just had to walk their dog instead. And there's always that solid group of three or four people that just keep running, not too fast, not too slow. They just keep running. They're solid. Well, the reason we're talking running this morning is because the Christian life is time and time again referred to as a running race. A running race. It's not a sprint race, but an endurance race. It's winning is not about beating the opposition. Winning is crossing the finish line. Just keeping going to the end. And that's at the heart of our passage this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus here today, I want to ask you, how are you going at running the race? How are you going following Jesus? How are you going at running this endurance race? There'll be people here who are like the four in the middle, and they are running strong. They're not too fast, not too slow, but they've got plenty in the tank, and they're just running. There'll be people here, and you're feeling tired. You're feeling tired. You're strong, but you're just feeling tired. Every pace just hurts. Every step just hurts. There'll also be people here, and you're on the verge of giving up. Perhaps that's you. You're walking at the back, and you just feel like giving up. Or maybe you're like the Philippian church. Paul writes, the Philippian church are running the race, and you're pounding the pavement, you're running the race, but you've lost your joy. You've lost your joy in running, and it's just not that fun. Well, whoever you are this morning, whether you are a Christian running the race, wherever you are in the race, whether you wouldn't call yourself a Christian and you're just looking at Jesus, Paul's purpose is to get us to start running the race and to keep running the race and to know joy in running the race, to keep going in the Christian life. But not only to keep going, but to know joy in the Christian life. Now, in our passage this morning, he's got some training tips for us. And I've got some questions just to point us in the direction of those training tips that Paul has got in our passage. The first question is this: what trophy are you chasing? What trophy are you chasing? Let me read from verse 13. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God
in Christ Jesus. For the Apostle Paul, the prize is there. Did you see that? It's the heavenly call of Christ Jesus. Now, he's referring back to verse 11 that we looked at last week, which talks about the resurrection from the dead. And for Paul, the motivation to keep running the Christian life is the trophy, is the day that is coming when he will be raised from the dead, where he will be with Christ, where he will sit down with Christ, and where he will rest with Christ. In a perfect world where all the pain that we see and the pain that we feel will be no more, where our crying will be stopped forever. In a perfect world, we'll sit down with Jesus and we'll rest from this life. Now, the threat that we learned to running the race for Paul and for this Philippian church is resting not on Jesus, but on his religious pedigree or religious performance. Dexter has only recently taken up running. He's naturally gifted. He's our number two son. He is 12 years old. He's naturally gifted. You look at him and there is no fat on that boy. He's very fast. He's been doing park run with me, which a park run, Dennis calls it a fun run. It's a run that goes along the Rockingham foreshore on a Saturday morning. There is no fun in that run. It is a 5K, half an hour of torture. And anyway, I've been doing that for about a year now. Dex has recently started doing it. First couple of times, it was fine. He loved it. He really enjoyed it. But then it started to hurt, and he didn't get out of bed. Do you know what gets him out of bed now? Beating Dad. Beating Dad. That's what gets him out of bed. On a Saturday morning, he wants to beat Dad and smash his PB. They take photos down at Park Run, and the other week I saw a photograph of me. I am drenched. I look like I've been swimming in Rockingham Beach. Dexter is there like a little gazelle, just running effortlessly, smashing my time, waltzing over the finish line. The thing that gets Dexter out of bed is comparison with Dad. He wants to beat Dad. But the Apostle Paul says that the Christian race is not a race about comparison. It's not about beating your opponent. It's about crossing the line. He says if it was about comparison, he would be the winner every time. Last week, we heard this. He says, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as last to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He says that if this Christian race is about comparison, if it's about beating Dad or beating the person next to you, then Paul will be a win every time. He says, I'm better than you. I'm the best. Paul is the equivalent, the religious equivalent of a Ferrari. No one comes close to him. But Paul tells the Philippian church that the Christian race is not about beating your opponents. It's about crossing the line and getting the prize. It's not about comparing yourself to others. It's not about getting. It's about getting your hands on the prize of being raised with Jesus, like Jesus, forever with Jesus. See, if you have the right view of the prize, you're going to keep running towards it. If you have the right view of the prize, you'll run through anything. You'll keep going no matter what this world throws at you. The Apostle Paul's been shipwrecked. He's been chased out of town. He's writing this letter from prison. Things that would have caused you or me to give up. But yet he keeps running and he keeps rejoicing. His life is threatened and he keeps encouraging the Christians to keep going with Jesus. Keeps getting obstacles in his way, and he keeps planting churches. See, his race is not a comparison race. His race is about crossing the line and taking the trophy of eternal life. He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You often think that the Apostle Paul is some kind of super Christian, that he is kind of made out of the stuff that they make black box flight recorders out of, that nothing hits him. But I love the honesty in these words. I love the word straining, a strain towards the prize. He knows what it's like to run parkrun. He knows that it hurts. Pursuing. These words are words of pain and hard work. Friends, we live in a world where the comparison game is the main game for many. We live in a world of Facebook, Instagram. They show us what drives us, even if we don't go in for those things. Those social media sites show us what drives our world. We like to be better than other people. We like to strive to keep up with others. There'll be people here this morning and you know that you say to yourself, I'm better than them. I'm not like them. There'll be other people here who see people at church and they think, oh, I'll never have their faith. I'll never be able to trust like they do. I'll never be able to do what they do. The thing is, if you take your eyes, if you take your eyes off Jesus and fix your eyes on others, you'll stop running the race. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, you know that a day is coming when you will sit down with him, when you will rest with him, when he will say to you, good and faithful servant, well done, and you'll be with him forever. Apostle Paul wants the Philippian church to stop comparing themselves with each other, to stop comparing their religious performance and their pedigree, stop being defeated when they see other people's religious performance, because he says, I'm the best if we're playing that game. And know that Jesus has already won us the prize. That's what he says to them. Jesus has already won us the prize, and one day we'll stand on the podium as winners, and he will hand you the trophy and he will say, good, well done, good and faithful servant. There'll be people here who think, I'll never have the faith of others. There'll be people here who regard themselves better than others, perhaps because you've got a certain gift, or because you regard yourself as having a certain religious performance or Christian credentials. Sadly, churches are often those places where the one-eyed man is king. Ever heard that expression? The one-eyed man in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Churches are often those places where we elevate a particular person with a particular gift or elevate someone who is good at something or has a passion for something. Now, there is no danger in those things, and we're right to use our gifts to serve Jesus and to serve each other. But put any weight on those performances. Look at those things as if it's your performance in the race. Then you're in danger. Those things get us no closer to God than anything else. Only Jesus does. Only Jesus does. You can't earn something that God has already given you. And Paul says, verse 16. He says, only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Do you see that? Verse 16. It's past tense. So we run the race to take the prize, not to earn the prize. There's no point trying to earn something that Jesus has already won for you. Paul told us last week he regards his gifts and his reputation and his religious performance. Do you remember how he described them? Dog poo. That's how he described them compared to Jesus. Dung, rubbish, excrement. He says only Jesus will get you over the finish line. Only he is worth running for. The prize that he offers is resurrection life, and he has won that for us already. So let that be your trophy. Run towards it. in this endurance race. Don't run to anything else. Second question for us this morning, who are you following? Who are you following? Brothers and sisters, Paul writes, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. See, if you want to keep going in the Christian race, if you want to keep flourishing in the Christian life, if you want to keep joyful in following Jesus, then Paul commands the Philippians and he commands us to follow him. And he does that, I think, because it's just a clear example of somebody who follows Jesus. And as you look at him, we are to imitate Paul. We're to observe him. We're to follow his example. Dexter and I, we've done a lot of running this week. We went running on Monday. We went running on Saturday. We also went running a training on Wednesday night. And we did these training sessions on the foreshore and took Dexter along. And there was a guy called Chris. And Chris is one of those incredible runners. He was the bloke that was at the front of your cross country when you were a kid. I think he's done a 300-mile race. That is some feat. He's officially an Ironman. Anyway, he took Dexter under his wing, teaching him about running. And he got him alongside and he said, now, Dexter, if you lift your legs higher, you'll get more bounce off your feet. And if you stop swinging your arms across your body and swing your arms straight, then you'll get more speed and you'll be able to go longer with less effort. And so Dexter looked at him and he ran behind him and he copied him. Then on Saturday when he went to Beat Me at Park Run, he ran much faster. I said, how'd you go? He goes, I ran a lot faster by lifting my legs and I enjoyed it by learning something new. I think that's what Paul is getting at when he says, imitate me. He says, if we follow him, if we imitate him, follow his example, then we will run well. We'll run with joy. We'll run faster. We'll run more efficiently. I encourage you to go in and go back, read your Bibles, and look at the example of Paul. Look at his heart for the lost. Look at his focus on the seeing the gospel proclaimed at all costs. Look at his love for other Christians. Look at his desire to see young Christians be matured and raised up. You read the epistles, you read Acts, and you see Paul's generosity to see Christ go out. You see Paul's gospel partnerships with all these different organizations and churches. You see Paul's passion, you see Paul's resilience. One thing that you can't say when you read the Apostle Paul's life is that he was lukewarm and that he sat on the fence. He's passionate. He's passionate. He's not distant and evasive from other Christians. He doesn't keep his Christianity for a Sunday morning. He doesn't keep his evangelism to his own patch. He goes for it. He's passionate. He runs the race. He says, imitate me. In the same breath, he also flags a danger for following the wrong role models. Imitate the wrong people. That's verse 18. He says, for many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I've often told you of them. And now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. It's tricky to know exactly who Paul is talking about. He's probably talking about the Jewish Christians who were saying to the non-Jewish Christians that they needed to get circumcised and become Jewish in order to be proper Christians. Paul's point, whatever he's getting at, is in what they were doing. He says that God is their belly. How did they live? They lived for their pleasure and their own consumption. Where does their joy come from? It comes from their own glory and their own fame. Now that is difficult to pinpoint in the Philippian church, and it's difficult to pinpoint the danger for us, where the tricky areas are for us. But I can be confident if God's word is eternal, is he knows us better than we know ourselves, there will be people who we are tempted to follow where life is all about themselves, where the God is their pleasure and their glory and not Jesus. Seems to be that the people that Paul is talking about look like Christians, sounded like Christians, did Christian things. And there'll be people in our lives whose God is their belly, their glory is their driving force and their joy, who look like Christians, who sound like Christians, who do Christian things. There'll be people, I'm sure, that we are tempted to follow who fit that category. And I don't know who they are. Maybe they're a Christian leader. They might be a Christian journalist or an author or a blogger. They might be a super religious person. They might be a friend who says they are a Christian. But when you look at their life is all about them and all about their consumption and their life and their belly. That their Christianity is all about their fame and their glory, and making themselves look impressive in the Christian set. I remember a friend at Union, he was a good mate of mine. He actually worked for the church that I went to. He was a student minister. And he was a great preacher, and I loved sitting under his word. Loved sitting under his teaching. He did the right things as far as I could see, and he became a friend. But as he became a friend, I quickly realized that his Christianity was a Sunday Christianity. That on a Sunday, he did the right things. He was popular because he was an engaging preacher. He told good gags. But as I got to know him, I realized that the rest of his week, the rest of his life was just like anyone else's. And I got into real trouble with him. I'd become a Christian out of a... I used to play rugby, and I'd become a Christian out of a rugby culture of drinking lots and partying lots and just being one of the lads. And I'd become a Christian, and I'd left that behind me. But then I got to know this guy, and he dragged me right back into that culture. He looked impressive on a Sunday. He sounded impressive on a Sunday. But for the rest of the week, his God was his belly. And on Sundays, the driving force in his joy was his glory. Paul says those kind of people are enemies of the cross. You wouldn't call them necessarily that to their faces. But Paul says, don't follow them. Follow him instead. Follow the good examples. There's plenty of good examples in this church. Follow the good examples. Follow the people who are engaged in gospel partnerships. Follow the generous people. Follow the people who give up their time and their money and their resources selflessly and sacrificially to serve us and to serve this church, to serve Jesus in Rockingham. Just this week, I realized just how, I shared with you earlier, just how many gospel partnership opportunities we have here in Rockingham. I got to preach at the Salvos down in Rocco on Wednesday morning. I got to meet with some other ministers in Perth who are seeking to proclaim Christ. I had a conversation with South Coast Care about a future initiative. I got to receive, Carol prayed for it, we received a $1,000 grant from Anglicare for our Sprouts ministry at Hillman Primary School. And I realize there's just so many partnerships that we can be involved with so that the gospel, the news of Jesus, would go out in Rockingham. Friends, follow, if you're going to follow one thing about Paul, follow his partnership example. Be engaged with this church. Be engaged with other Christians around Rockingham. Go all out for Jesus. Serve with other Christians. Fund initiatives. Pray for different mission initiatives and ministries. To imitate Paul is to tap into much joy. Many of us are joyless. And to be honest, if I'm honest, I'd say often my joy has been lacking. I realized this week there is much joy in partnership and hustling for the gospel and seeing it go out. Who are you following? Final point, and much more briefly, what team are you on? What team are you on? To be a Roman citizen in the first century in Philippi was to enjoy privilege. If you were a Roman citizen, then you were a thing. It was to enjoy protection. It was to have purpose. You would be, if you're a Roman citizen, you would be the envy of the world. Paul is a Roman citizen. He's writing to Roman citizens. And he says, but the citizenship that he boasts about, that he takes pride in, is there in our passage. He says, but our citizenship, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Roman citizenship gave you so much. Heavenly citizenship, Paul says, gives you so much more. He says, heavenly citizenship gives you eternal life. It gives you resurrection from the dead. Heavenly citizenship gives you a Savior who will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of Jesus' glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. To run the race, well, is to run as a citizen of heaven. If you are trusting Jesus here this morning, you are a citizen of heaven. I don't know what is on your passport. I've got an Aussie passport and a British passport. I'm an Englishman by birth, an Australian citizen by choice. But the citizenship that counts is my heavenly citizenship. If you're trusting Jesus this morning, you have a heavenly citizenship. Your passport is stamped. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do that will take it away from you. And it means that a day is coming when a Savior will come and transform your body, transform your earthly body and give you a resurrection body. I can't wait for that day. Can't wait for the keg to be transformed into a six-pack. Can't wait for this aging frame to be transformed into a body like Jesus. And it comes only because of our citizenship. Imagine if running races were decided by your citizenship. Imagine if the final of the 400 meters in the Olympic Games, they were running it, and halfway through the race, the officials stopped the race and said, congratulations to all the Poms, you are the gold winners. No one finished, just an announcement was made. That is a bit like what it means to run the Christian race. A day is coming when our Savior will come and say, citizens of heaven, arise. Take up your new bodies. Take up your eternal life and live with me forever. What team are you on? I just want to conclude. I want to conclude but just by reading the closing words of Paul in 4 verse 1. So 3 verse 21. Let me conclude by these and then we'll pray. I think this is what he's getting at. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Let's pray. Father, I do pray for my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for. Pray, Lord, that they would be my joy and my crown. Thank you that they are my joy and bring me much joy. I pray for each and every one of us here in this room, that each of us would stand firm in the Lord in the way that Paul is going on about. For those that don't know Jesus and that know don't belong to Jesus, I pray, Lord, that they would see the wonderful promise and hope that he offers, that they would know that he is only a prayer away. And so I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them and show them Jesus and the wonderful Savior that he is. I pray, Lord, that we would keep going, knowing that we've got nothing to prove, no one to please, because Jesus has done it all. And we long for that day when Jesus will transform our lowly bodies, the body of our humiliation, and that he would transform our bodies and give us eternal life. Until that day comes, we pray, Lord, that you would keep us, that you would abide with us, and that you would just cause us to run with much joy for the rest of our days for your glory. We pray in his name. Amen.